This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. Good evening. I'm Corey Crow. I want to say thank you for coming out to Policy in a Pint. We got a room full of folks here. We're at the River Grill here in Monroe tonight, right along the Ouachita River, in a great setting to be talking about feral hogs. And we've got an expert panel here that's going to be answering our questions tonight. We want to welcome you to the River Grill tonight. We also want to welcome our radio audience listening on 90.3 KEDM. A reminder that we'll also record this. It'll be on our Facebook page and our website for folks to go back to. I'd like to introduce our panelists tonight and tell you a little bit about how we got here tonight. We've been talking about feral hogs at the radio station for a couple of years, and we're glad to get into this subject. It's sort of a weird one. And we'll find out why coming up in just a minute. But on the end, I'd like to introduce Dr. Kim Tolson. Kim, tell us a little bit about what you do. You are a professor at ULM. Your degree's in pharmacology and toxicology. Yeah. How do you get from pharmacology and toxicology to hogs?
Well, in graduate school, I was studying the neurotoxicity of some pesticides on mammals. And from there, I moved into physiology and just, you know, environmental toxins in general and their effect on wildlife and the landscape. And just, you know, was one of those people that always worked with large mammals. And then when the hot topic of feral hogs came up, I said, I got to get in on this.
So Dr. Kim Tolson's at ULM. You also sit on the State Feral Hog Task Force. You're the chair of that. And we'll talk a little bit about that coming up. Also with us in the center is Walter Cotton. He's a supervisory wildlife biologist. And Walter, tell us, you work for the USDA, but you're in the wildlife division. Tell me a little bit about what you do.
I specialize in wildlife damage control, nuisance species, and therefore the feral swine. So we work with landowners and farmers and even our urban folks, and try to resolve wildlife issues.
And Elliot Colvin is here on the end. Elliot is a farmer, a fourth-generation farmer in Richland Parish over in Ravel in the Start area. You're a police juror over in Ravel, too, and a member of the Beff River Soil and Water Conservation District. Tell me, from the farming end, hogs are a bad deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, the problems we have with the hogs destroying our crops is real. And it's not just a just like an edge of the field thing. It's a real situation that directly affects our bottom line when it's all said and done.
Walter, let me start with you. Let's define, what is a feral hog? I mean, we think about pigs that you raise on a farm, but what's a feral hog?
Feral hog is basically any hog living outside of captivity. I mean, really, a pig's a pig as far as scientific name goes. So just any hog that's living out of captivity.
So farmed pigs, can they turn feral once they escape from a farm and get out of the fence?
They can. I've seen, I think I've seen where they really become sort of wild, you know, quotations, in three or four generations.
So a few generations. Kim, you and I have been talking these previous weeks about the feral hogs. These hogs are not native to North America, so where did they come from?
Corey, if we look at their original geographic distribution, they are found native in Europe, they're native in Asia, and they're also native populations across the northern portion of the continent of Africa. And so they are not native to any in the New World, anywhere in the United States, any of the islands around us, or anywhere. They are non-native introduced species.
Now, from talking to you these previous weeks, I learned that we can blame Christopher Columbus for a lot of this.
Yeah, Columbus made the initial insult. You know, everybody knows the story about he came to America in 1492. In 1493, he made a return trip to the New World, and he landed in the West Indies, the group of islands. And on that particular trip, Columbus brought with him, according to his ship's manifest records, he brought eight, in quotation, select swine. with him to the island and turned those loose on the island. And it was just a matter of less than a decade before the historical records on that island said that those hogs had become feral and were depredating their cattle. They were destroying their sugarcane crops and other agriculture crops.
The so that's Cuba.
Yes.
So Cuba had, I remember, the Bay of Pigs when the United States tried to overthrow Castro.
Is
that, does the Bay of Pigs have anything to do with all the pigs?
I can't answer that question, but I can tell you that the pigs that got to the continental U.S. came from Cuba.
So who do we blame for that?
Oh, we have the Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto to do that. He came about 45 years after Christopher Columbus, stopped in Cuba, and then picked up somewhere around a dozen pigs in Cuba and brought them to Florida when he landed in Florida. And then he and his men took off on this trek across 14 states. And along their trek, their journey, they would drop and leave either a pregnant sow or a boar and a sow just to stay there in the woods and breed, reproduce, so that when they came back on their return trip, they had a guaranteed food supply.
And that would be, 1539, I think they came to Florida. He ends up dying right here in our area. It comes right through our area. And then over into Texas and dies. I read something saying when they left about, I think that about a third of the men died, but they had 200 pigs with them still as they were trekking across what became the United States.
That's correct. The pigs certainly outlived his men at that point.
Walter, let's talk a little bit about these pigs. So they reproduce rather quickly. If you have a pregnant pig, how many pigs do you end up with in a year?
They're the as far as our large mammals go, they're the most prolific large mammal in the United States. On average, in the state of Louisiana, we've shown, 4 to 6 per litter. We like to joke out of every 6 that are born, 8 survive, though. and they usually have 2 litters here. So I'd have to do a lot of math there.
So a couple of litters a year. I've heard even up to 3 in good conditions. The pigs are reproducing like rats.
Probably worse in places.
Worse than rats. Kim, let's talk about why we're here. They're creating a lot of damage in the state of Louisiana. So Texas seems to be the hotbed with the biggest population, with many millions there. How many of these wild pigs do we have in Louisiana?
The most conservative estimates are between 700,000 and 900,000. And that conservative number came out early this year. We feel like we're probably pushing about 1 million right now as our base that we're working from.
So the state of Louisiana has 4 million people. So for every 4 of us, there's 1 pig running around in the woods right now.
And pretty soon, we're going to be the same ratio as DeSoto and his men.
The pigs are reproducing rather quickly. Where were we, 10 years ago, and where are we 10 years from now with this pig population? What do you think happens?
Walt, you want to address that? What happens in 10 years?
Well, as far as 10 years ago, our population is still spreading and it's still growing. A lot of that in recent decades is because of hunters. It's a huntable and edible species, so they were moved. Which back then, nobody minded. Everybody wanted another huntable species. But they've sort of exceeded our capacity. They're doing more damage now. So more control efforts are going into it, more money's going into it. So hopefully in 10 years, at least in some locations in the state, we've actually sort of beat them back. But they are still growing right now.
We hear about damage to farms, and Elliot, I want to talk to you about what you're farming and the kind of damage, and we'll get to all the other things, because you may not think farming affects us, but it does, because it's running up our food prices and doing lots of things. So tell me about your place. What are you farming right now, and what are the pigs doing to you?
So right now I'm farming corn, soybeans, and rice, and really have seen an effect of damage in all three crops that I farm. Really haven't never seen it in cotton that I know of. I think it's pretty much non-evident there. Rice is not too bad, even though you think it would be the perfect environment. They will, I have seen damage there, but it's not near about as bad as it is in a row crop situation. Most of our initial damage, and I guess what would cost us the most money, is at planting. So basically what they'll do is we'll go out and plant a field. They'll move in that night and we'll go right down the row and get every seed out of the ground right behind the planter.
So let's talk about planting a field. For the folks that don't farm, you plant a field, what's that cost you if you're planting a corn field?
Just say probably $150 an acre for the seed. So you can imagine a 100-acre field, and theoretically we've had them eat 15 to 20 acres in a night. You know, so it's real. And you don't just come back the next day and replant it. You have to literally rework the ground, because when they go down through there, it destroys it.
So they'll eat the seeds in the ground because they're nice and tasty.
Mm-hmm.
What else do they eat? When you're planting, I mean, some of those seeds might survive. Do they eat the green shoots?
They will. A lot of times for like a hog, what they'll do is we'll see damage in fresh planted corn for up to maybe 3 weeks, which will be up to maybe knee-high corn in a sense. After that, they kind of don't mess with it till it starts maturing. And then when it starts getting mature and actually making ears of corn, then they'll start knocking the corn down to get the ears. So,
do you ride around controlling hogs on your property?
As much as I can, yes, especially during planting season when we can see them. The challenge is after the crops get big enough, you can't see them at night or any time. So it's kind of a challenge. But early in the season, absolutely.
I'll just throw this out. How many acres are you farming right now?
I got about 2,800.
2,800 acres. How many hogs did you take? And I know you could take all you wanted.
Yeah, it's so I really have one particular area where we have hogs that I did not have any hogs 6-7 years ago, never even seen a hog. So now we have that one area. I know just this spring, me and a couple of other guys and some trapping, I think we killed like 68 in the first, like, you know, about planting time. And then it got, you know, big enough we couldn't see them. So, and during harvest, they're everywhere. So, I mean, we haven't even put a dean in them. On one field. That's on one place.
Dr. Tolson, you were telling me that it's hard to control these animals, and you have to kill a lot of them even to just keep up with where we are now. So how many of these things do you have to kill to keep populations at the rate we are right now?
Well, to keep a static population, that we've had, you know, people that do the math and do calculations, and we give them the information and we talk about, you know, how young they start breeding, how often they breed, how many they have in a litter, and then they put all this into a mathematical formula and calculate their reproductive potential, and those mathematically inclined biologists tell us that we have to remove approximately 70 or 75% of the individuals just to remain static.
So you've got to kill 7 in 10 hogs every year just to keep up with where we are now with a million of them running wild.
And if we use that number, if we use a million, you know, that puts in perspective, then we need to harvest 750,000 hogs a year in the state of Louisiana.
So every 4 people need to kill a hog this year just to stay where we're at.
Well, I can tell you that the deer hunters are doing their part when they're in the woods. We survey Louisiana deer hunters, and the latest figures we have are from the 2017-2018 deer season. And Louisiana deer hunters harvested about 135,000 deer statewide, but those same deer hunters harvested almost 217,000 pigs while they were deer hunting.
And they're good eating.
Yes.
Very good eating. We'll talk about that coming up a little more, how to control these hogs and what you can do to help. And we'll talk a little bit more about the damage and some of the places other than farming that you may not know about coming up. You're listening to 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. This is Policy and a Pint. We're at the River Grill in Monroe. We'll be back with more after this.